It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 768. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow to get your free 15-day trial. You could also go directly to instanthousecall.com. This show is also brought to you by MagnusBox for secure, reliable cloud backups for all operating systems that you can resell. They only deal with partners. It works across Windows, Windows Server, Mac, Linux. Go to MagnusBox.com, check out the demo. You will love it. And if you mention that you heard it here on the Mike Tech Show, you will get half off your monthly platform fee for your first 3 months. Tonight's show is all about privacy, and I am very excited to have a guest, Corey Fruitman, who is the owner and creator of Instant House Call. He was listening to one of my past shows on talking about privacy, and this hit something that Corey loves and has done a lot of research and a lot of work on. And he sent me some incredible links and some great ideas. And I was like, you got to be on a show. We got to do a show together on privacy. So let me introduce Corey Fruitman. Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about you?
Oh, doing great. Now, Corey's, you're from Toronto, Canada. I got to ask, what is the temperature in Toronto right now?
I'm only going to know it in Celsius, so it's going to sound really cold. I think it's about -4, -5.
Oh, okay. We're complaining because it like dropped into the 50s here in Florida, so everybody's in a panic, you know, right now. But I am just so glad I'm not in Pennsylvania, because it's like crazy temperatures, freezing, and I think the wind chill in Fahrenheit is in single digits. So that's ugly. So welcome. And if you can, what prompted you to explore privacy and start deep diving? When did it become personal for you to look at all this?
I think it's probably always been sort of part of my makeup, something that I've always been concerned with. I've always sort of been concerned with civil liberties and, freedom of speech, privacy, that sort of thing. As I grew up and as I learned more about technology and realized just how much data was being collected on us, I started to pay more attention to it and try to minimize my data footprint. There was a sort of a tipping point when I went to, are you familiar with Google Takeout? Do you know what that is?
No. What's Google Takeout? No.
Google Takeout is how you can see all of the data that Google has on you. So you go to takeout.google.com.
Okay.
And you can download all your data, and they'll show you everything they got. And it's a lot. I think on me, and bear in mind, I had a lot of services turned off because, like I said, I've always been, pretty conscious of it. I think on me they had 4 gigs compressed. And that's a lot of data.
That is. Wow. So now, what about breaches? Did that you know, there's been just so many of data breaches. And the biggest one, obviously, Equifax, which just impacted everybody here. I don't know. Now, Equifax is national, right? So you were impacted by that in Canada?
Yep. Yeah, yeah, there's a, okay, a lawsuit going on here about it, actually.
Well, yeah.
You know, it, I mean, breaches, I think, you know, you and I were talking before the show, and you made a good point. You just have to assume that you've always been breached.
Yes.
And security is one thing, privacy is another, but they do tend to go hand in hand.
Good. No, you're right. And something I always preached is assume that your data is out there. And I put together, as a matter of fact, Malwarebytes, Mike, put together a really good response to that right after Equifax, because I think he was at an unconvention with us when that happened. And it was right after that he put a really nice paper together that I put out, which was to how to lock down all of your what do you call that when they're doing credit checks, you know, all the credit bureaus, and making sure that's locked down, because you assume that's it. It's, your information's out there, and that you will eventually, you know, you will have identity theft. And because of that, what do you do to protect it? Well, you assume it's going to happen and then work from that premise. So do you operate that way? You know,
I do to a point. I recognize, so a lot of it is evaluating what you're concerned with. And I'm not particularly concerned that the government, for example, is spying on me. Mm-hmm. So I don't take steps to avoid that. But I do have concerns about the amount of data that Google and Facebook have on me. Google and Facebook are probably the two that I focus on the most.
Right.
And I try to minimize my footprint with the two of them as much as humanly possible. And you know, I'm not really particularly worried about spies. They'd be horribly bored if they went into my life. but Google and Facebook, I do everything I can to keep that data to a minimum or keep it to none.
So other than takeout.google.com, what else can we do? What are you doing to protect your data from Google? And I don't have a clue on Facebook, so take us through what we can do.
The easiest thing to do for both is to use the Brave browser.
Okay.
And one of the very nice side effects of using it is that your ads are all going to be blocked. So a lot of tracking is done through ads. Mm-hmm. And so Brave blocks all of that stuff by default. And the reason I mention Brave is because it's easy. Everyone can download it. Everyone can start using it. And 99.9% of people are not even going to notice the difference. So that's at brave.com.
Nice.
And it's Chromium. It's basically Chrome with privacy tools attached. And on the rare occasion that it breaks something on a website, you'll see a little lion's head in the top right of the address bar. You click on that, you turn off shields, and it'll just act like a regular browser, and you're good to go. But almost always, I very, very, very seldom do I have to turn off shields.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So if I'm going to Facebook, well, everything. You just start with Brave, and that's how you operate.
Start with Brave, yeah.
Yeah. So now, what do you do for searching? Because I'm more worried about Google. Not that I'm doing any bad searches, but I don't want them holding all that. I don't want them to know what I'm searching. And think of how many they've used this in court for, I know, criminals and stuff. They'll go to their searching history and say, well, you know, you were searching for chloroform and all those other things, you know. So, you know, we can, you know. They could use that evidence against you for something. So what do you personally do? What's your favorite for searching?
I started using startpage.com, and I've actually relatively recently switched to DuckDuckGo.
Okay.
So DuckDuckGo.com is my search engine of choice.
Now you build that into Brave. That's easy to integrate. So to make that your default.
Yep. So Brave's default browser is Google. I imagine they get a pretty penny from Google to do that. But you can switch the default browser to DuckDuckGo, which is what I did. And you just, I do all my searches in the address bar now. And it probably took me a week to 2 weeks just to get used to not going to google.ca every time I went somewhere.
Right. You know, and it's funny. I use DuckDuckGo a lot, but I don't know why, but it's like I slip back into bad habits and I go to Google when how do you de-Google yourself? You really gotta, I'm into Gmail. MikeTechShow.com at Gmail. My personal email is Gmail. I either have Google apps that the only thing my business email is hosted at Sherweb, but everything else goes through Google. Mm-hmm. So how is, I guess, changing email providers? That's gotta be so difficult to really, it's like moving, worse than moving, you know?
It's actually easier than you might think. So for my instanthousecall.com mail, I was on Google Apps for Business. Mm-hmm. And I switched to a regular IMAP hoster. I use Namecheap. I don't strongly recommend them. There are areas for improvement there, and I may be switching to another provider, but they do the job. So I use just a regular provider, and all I did, because it was my own domain, it was extremely easy to move.
Right.
And then for my personal email, I was also on Gmail. What I did is I put an autoresponder on and a forwarder. So I registered a domain for myself and my wife and my son. So we have our own sort of niche domain. Nice. And then I put an autoresponder on my Gmail, and anyone who emails me there, it tells them to contact me at the new one. It forwards the email so I can get it, and everybody's happy.
Now, you mentioned, and Corey sent me so many links and so many different things that I it took me a while to just unpack and go through it all. You recommend TutaMail, right? As another alternative for email. And I've recommended ProtonMail because that got popular from the Mr. Robot series. Have you ever seen that? Any of the episodes at all?
I have.
Season one, they use ProtonMail, and that, by the way, is all legitimate tech. Everything that was in there. I used to do a show talking about what we learned from Mr. Robot, and I did a thing on ProtonMail way back. So, do you use those at all for your?
I do.
Email.
Okay. So, like I said, my sort of risk tolerance isn't. Excuse me, isn't to hide from government. So I did, when you use an encrypted email provider, there are trade-offs. And one of those trade-offs is you can't use regular mail clients.
Right.
And so I chose ease over perfect security and perfect privacy. And I went with a regular IMAP hoster. But I do use TutaMail for anything that's confidential. So when I send something to my doctor, that gets encrypted and sent to him in private. If I send something to my bookkeeper, if I send financials to my accountant, anything like that gets encrypted and sent through my TutaMail account.
So it's encrypted. So they get a login that they have to log into a portal to get mail. Correct. Okay.
Yeah. So it'll send them a link. They click on the link. And they use the password I provided, and then it gives them a virtual mailbox that they can reply encrypted to me.
Right. Now,
what's cool is the encryption all gets done in the browser before it even reaches their servers. So there's no opportunity for them to man in the middle of it.
So I want to spend another couple minutes on this, because encryption, it's very important. Now, anybody that's with Microsoft 365, you can get the security. You can get. I think it's E3 we use for clients, and you can encrypt your mail there by using the word in the subject encrypt, and it's encrypted end to end, and it basically brings them to a portal. But there is a service out there called Proofpoint, where you can bring your own mail to that provider and have it encrypted. Now, I don't know. I think it works with Gmail, and that was something I wanted to test. Can you bring your own mail to TudaMail, or it's they assign you, you pick your email, and it's their domain that they're using?
So they have a free tier that includes their extension. So Tuda Noda, Tuda Mail, Tuda, I don't remember what them
all are. Okay. But,
But if you pay, and I think it's like $50 a year, $100 a year, you can bring your own domain.
Oh, that's great. That's a great opportunity. That's even better than, you know, I'll put Proofpoint out there because that's another, I think Proofpoint's like that, only they don't provide any mail. You have to bring your own. And it's, you know, it's like $5 or $6 per user per month, you know, which, you know, sounds about right for the encryption. I know them because of SureWeb. So for Exchange Hosted, I have a lot of clients that need encryption, and that's because that's who they use, the third party, for their encryption. So we can, so you can have that end-to-end encryption if you want it. You just got to pay for it. Right. And that's, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, you pay for it in more ways than one, though, because like I said, you're not able to, you lose a lot of convenience once you go encrypted, and you have to decide if you're willing to trade that off. So if I were a lawyer, for example, or if I were a doctor, I would absolutely use it. And I think that's actually an opportunity to sell some, that's something you can actually sell to your customers.
You actually have to for HIPAA compliance. And I also have to do that for, I have financial advisors that I support, which, so we got FINRA compliance, and then there's now, I have attorneys that deal with medical, and because of that, they are forced into the HIPAA compliance. So I have some attorneys that had to, you know, we had to turn on encryption or move their mail to Microsoft, get them E3 and get them, you know, all the compliance and security that comes with that. So. Yes, very, very familiar with that. But getting to the individuals, that person listening to this, you know, who doesn't have a business that has to do that, but is very concerned with privacy. And I'm going to mention someone who is my middle son's godmother, wrote me an email and asking about privacy. And it was right before your email came to me. And I started giving her, you know, I recommended Proton Mail and everything. And I said, today I sent her an email, said, you're going to love tonight's show. Because she's used to encrypted email at work, and she's now retiring and wants to continue having encrypted email. And I'm like, okay. So that's something we're going to, you know, we're going to cover tonight. So it is important for some people, you know. Now, you're right. Me, do I need every email? No. But communicating with anything, a bank or anything, finance or anything that there's personal information. So how else can we de-Google ourselves? So is there any other?
So you can, I mean, you can go to the extent that I went to, which is I de-Googled my phone.
Tell me how are you doing that?
So there's the main way to do it is with Lineage OS. So if you go to lineageos.org, you'll see basically the stock Android open source version that doesn't have all the googly stuff in it. Now, that said, it's very, 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 very hard to live without the googly stuff. So there is something called MicroG. And what that does is it gives you just enough Google, but it doesn't share anything with them. It anonymizes you. I actually don't even sign into my phone. My phone has no idea who I am. You get Lineage OS with MicroG, and you will be completely anonymous, and you'll be able to use your phone. The only thing it doesn't work with is Android Auto. So if you can live without Android Auto, and it does work with Maps, if you can live without Android Auto, you can de-Google your phone with Lineage OS and MicroG.
Okay. Now me, and it's funny, I just did a show last week. I can't live without Apple CarPlay. So I'm giving up everything I want to Apple, and I'm saying, here, Apple, I love your product so much, I don't care what you have on me, because I have to have it. So automatically, and by the way, I cursed Apple for years. I say, and that was it. The iPhone 7 was going to be my last iPhone. And I was never going to go. And that's it. I'm going Android and I'm not going back. And then I was introduced to Apple CarPlay in my car. And I'm like, oh, I can't unsee that. So it was like, that's it. I got to have it. I was like, oh, now I just upgraded. Now I went from an iPhone 7 to an iPhone 12 Pro. But I did move from the grips of the harsh AT&T and I moved to T-Mobile and I saved money. But so Apple, that's it. If you're in the Apple ecosystem, they own you. You know, Apple Maps, they got my iOS, my sign in, and they know everything I do because it's an iPhone. So I can't un-Apple myself. But it's funny, you can de-Google a little bit. Now, I got to admit, I'm not using Google Maps on my iPhone. I'm using the Apple Maps. So I'm using the default. I want to bring up an appointment, click, and, you know, Apple CarPlay starts talking to me and giving me my instructions. You know, as a matter of fact, that's how I set appointments for my son, for each of us. Like, if I book him for a client, I put the address and the location, and that's it. When it comes up on calendar, he clicks that. Boom, he has Apple CarPlay. It just takes him there. And I think it's like what you said. You can go so far and then there's some things, well, you got to give up. I've given that up.
And I think, so like, again, for me, I'm less, because I mean, I recognize that Apple has a lot of information on me and Microsoft has a lot of information on me too.
Yep.
But I'm less concerned. Apple doesn't have this huge footprint that Google does.
Right.
And so that's an easier way to de-Google, is just to use an iPhone. And at least you're splitting the data up and they can't build these perfect profiles on you. Because if you have a regular Android phone, they know physically where you are at all times. They know, they know your altitude. They know everything. They know how fast you're going, what mode of transportation you're using, whether you're late for an appointment, if you put it in Google Calendar, or if you're on time. They know more about me than my wife does. And I'm not comfortable with that.
Right. Now, you sent me something, and you mentioned Microsoft. Microsoft has a lot of information. Now, what is the link? I don't know if you remember off the top of your head. There was a link for finding what Microsoft has about you, just like Google. So, and if you don't know it, I'll find it. You know,
it's the Microsoft Privacy Dashboard, and I don't remember the URL.
But that's okay.
If you DuckDuckGo Microsoft Privacy Dashboard, you'll find it.
Okay, and I'll have that link in the show notes. But I did mine, and surprisingly, it was very, very little. They don't have, Microsoft has barely anything on me. They were empty. I was like, wow. I was very surprised. Google probably has a tremendous amount. I'm afraid to look at that. I will. But the Microsoft, I was very curious. I don't live in a Bing world. My sunrise and sunset does not revolve around Microsoft. You know, so it's interesting. I mean, I do use Outlook, but not to a Microsoft server. You know, I do use Word, I do use Excel, and that's it. I have a personal 365 account, but I'm not doing a lot with Microsoft. So it was interesting how little the information they had. So now, have you done that? Have you looked at everything from Microsoft and what they have on you?
I have. And again, I had already sort of shut down a lot of stuff when I first got my machine. Mm-hmm. But I was still surprised that they had things like which apps I was using, how long I was using them for.
Yeah.
They had everything I had put into the little magnifying glass at the bottom left. And I mean, I've typed personal stuff into that, right?
I don't use it that much. Maybe that's why I'm not searching there for my... Wow. That's, you know, see, that's scary. So, you know, bye-bye Cortana, you know.
So,
it's like,
so there is a tool that helps you called O&O Shut Up 10.
Yes. Great Windows 10 utility.
Sorry, go ahead.
Great Windows 10 utility for tweaks. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Shut Up 10. I'm going to put that in there. But what do you do with that?
I mean, I run it and I basically use the default settings, and it turns off a lot of the telemetry. Mm-hmm. It turns off a lot of the chattiness that Windows has towards the servers that collect your data. So it's just one more way to sort of, you know, lessen the amount of data that you're putting out there.
Now it's interesting. I just thought of something. Like, I don't use Cortana, I don't use Siri, but you know who I've been using a lot? And this is a company that I think has too much, and that's Amazon. Mm-hmm. Because I use, and if I say her name, she's going to go off. So I use Alexa, and that's how sensitive it is. See, I use that all the time, to the point where, if anybody who does that, you know where you get that ding when there's a delivery and the light turns green, right? Or I'll get a verbal notification on my Echo Show. And I'll never forget, and this was like a year ago, I was like, wait, I'm not expecting a delivery, but it was the same notification. I said, robot, play the notification, And it told me, based on your order history, you need blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, I've been ordering that for clients. And every now and then it'll give me what she wants me to order from Amazon. And I'm like, that can be helpful, but then it's also kind of scary. You don't know when they're listening, what's going on. Do you have any home automation like that? Have you infused anything like that, like from Amazon or Google? Or
I don't. And I don't, because I actually just find it plain creepy. I was looking at getting a lock that does not hook up to a Google device
Ring,
an Amazon device or anything.
Right.
Haven't gotten around to getting that yet, but I don't have any home automation.
See, I got sucked down the Amazon hole, especially now within Florida. I have a Ring doorbell because I'm not here some months, mm-hmm. But I went old school on something. I have one of those combination locks on a side door with our keys in it that you would have to break the combination, sort of like a real estate agent, box. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That if I ever have to give the code, I can always change it or whatever, but if I have to give the code to somebody because there's an emergency, or if I need someone that's doing work and I'm not here, I can say, hey, that's where you can go get the key, and then please put it back and, spin the code. So I had to change the code, as a matter of fact, when I got down here, because we had an air conditioner repaired and I had something else done while I was not here physically. And it's funny, I didn't want to do that electronically. I didn't want to, I started thinking about the Amazon hole that I've jumped into, and it's just, the Ring's connected to, Alexa, and then, stop. she gets all excited when you say her name, the blue light lights off and then everything. So that's, and by the way, I hate those commercials. The ones that I deactivated Siri literally because of watching TV, and how they have that commercial that Siri play so-and-so and everything, and she would do it, it would obey the commercial commands. And I'm like, oh no, this is getting turned off, So that's what, so I have a quick story. When my middle son, now we're empty nesters, but my middle son loved wrestling. And anytime, and I'm doing work and there's a TV there, and he'd be watching, and there was a female wrestler named Alexa. And every time it said it, it would say something else, and she would go off and go crazy every time they said her name on the, you can only set that to that word or the word Amazon. They haven't gotten to the point where you can program it yourself, for, like, what if that's your name in the house? There's someone, that's You know, there's more chance of that than there is Siri, you know, or Cortana, you know. Anyway, so getting back, so what do you use for maps then? Is there the on the Android, what do you have for a map that isn't tracking you?
I do use Google Maps.
Okay.
And that's because it's exceptionally good.
Right.
But there's an app called Shelter that allows you to separate your profiles. So I put all of the apps that I don't trust privacy-wise into what I affectionately call my poo-poo apps. and then I can turn them off en masse. And I use my regular apps, you know, whenever I'm using them. So Google can't track me using Maps because I don't leave it on. I only use it when I'm driving.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that with that profile. That's a great tip. And that's what I want to... What other tips of little creative things like that that you do that can, you know, ooh, never thought of that, you know? Is there anything else, especially with the phone? Because now we're married to these things now. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, with the phone.
Do you get email on the phone or have you given that up?
I do. I use an app called Fair Email, which I really, even if you don't de-Google, I highly recommend. It's an open source app. And I think he charges like $7 for it or something very, very nominal. And the developer also responds to your emails like really quick. But anyway, Fair Email is an excellent email app. A lot of the stuff that I use is actually stock Lineage OS. So I do everything open source. I download as much as I can. You've probably never heard of F-Droid. Do you know what that is?
Nope.
So F-Droid is the open source Play Store. If you use F-Droid, everything in it is open source, and it'll give you a warning if it uses something that isn't that uses other services.
Okay, I like the name F-Droid. That's a great tip. That's awesome. I want to double back on something. So something that concerns me now is Facebook. And because I know if I did not have the Mike Tech Show, I doubt if I would be on Facebook. I am there because I have to be there. And there were some organizations that I belong to that I don't now, but like BNI and everything. And these are things that you just have to, you know, yeah, that's how they operate, you know, with Facebook. So just using the Brave browser is enough to then go to Facebook?
That there's one case where it's not. So there's an extension, and I'm just looking for it now.
Ooh.
That I use in the Brave browser, and if I can find it, called Hidden Incognito Filter.
Hidden Incognito Filter.
And what it does is anytime I set it to anytime I type facebook.com, it'll automatically open it up in an incognito tab so they don't have access to all of my cookies.
Oh, okay. That's nice. I like that. I really like that. Very cool. So I thought, wow, when Corey emailed me, you know, with everything, I was like, we didn't talk about something. And I mentioned this and sent him an email. And then, man, he whacked me back with a couple links. I said, what do you think of password managers like RoboForm, which I am like really committed to. And then we got KeePass and LastPass. And so Corey sent me three links. They've all been hacked. And that was pretty frightening, which is... That and I'm going to put them you're going to be really discouraged from using a password manager, but it's the only way to not use the same password for every single thing so that when that does get hacked, you're dead. You know, well, you got to. Do you think the possibility of it's impossible to remember every password? So if we don't want to use the one. So does a password manager, and everybody's got to answer this for themselves, does that outweigh, even though they've been hacked, does that outweigh using a single password for everything that's strong? or just
password manager is definitely better.
Right. I think better. It is. Yeah. Even with that risk, and this is the thing. I think everything we talk about, you know, we're going to read tomorrow that Brave is hacked, you know, or some, you know, that there's something that, you know, or Lineage OS, you know, wherever you go, wherever you move, that's it. There's someone that's better that's working on, you know, breaching it. And so that's why I come back to the premise. You got to assume everything's being looked at, everything could be watched, and all your data is breached. So you got to protect yourself. I have a tip that I want to share. Use a separate email that nobody else knows that you never use to register anything. And that email is an account that you use for anything financial. That's the email for banks. That's the email for any kind of, wealth management or anything that, you know, any kind of financial advisor, because when the breach happens, they get that common password for that particular software. And what they do is they run your email against every single bank, every single place. And that's how they get you. And so that's something I put in a cybersecurity presentation I do for continuing education for CPAs. So that's one of my things is, you know, I preach get a second email that you just never use. There's like, yep. it's complex and no one will ever use it. And maybe use one of these email services that's not common, you know, where it's not a Gmail account, where it's not, you know, and that's something I always preach to protect, you know, as we kind of bridge privacy and security. So what have we missed of anything that you've, you know, that you've done, that you've looked at, or that you're using that we can throw out there for everybody?
The big thing that I use, now again, bear in mind, I'm fully de-Googled, right? And so that means I need to have a shared calendar with my wife, contact lists. I need to have file sharing because I don't have Google Drive.
Yes. Who are you using?
I use myself. I use an app called Nextcloud. And if anyone's familiar with OwnCloud, it's actually a fork yes. of OwnCloud. So I use Nextcloud, and it takes care of everything. And the software is open source.
Okay.
And I host it on my own server. And it's excellent. I find it extremely useful. It's so easy that my wife can use it and she doesn't complain. Keeps our phones synced to our calendars. It keeps our desktop synced to our calendars. We were able to share our contact lists.
So the calendar, what's the calendar app that's in that? Or is that part of there?
It's part of it.
It's part of it. Oh, yeah. Excellent.
And this is something you can sell to your customers too.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Excellent.
It even has its own version of Google Docs called Only Office.
Oh, okay. Only Office. I've never heard of that one. I mean,
it has video conferencing. It has everything. Absolutely everything.
Wow. So if you video, do you use that for business for video conferencing or no?
I haven't yet. If you want to be the, I haven't had the courage to try it with an actual.
Oh, we'll have to test. We'll have to do that. So no, definitely. That would be cool. So
but actually I'm supposed to be testing it with Matt Rodella. I can't remember the date. I'd have to check.
Okay.
Next week sometime we're supposed to be trying it. But if you want to try it beforehand, by all means.
No, and then what I'll do. See, now I'll get curious. Show me some features that's coming in Instant House Call that I can't talk about yet. But when he says unleash the hounds, I can. So that's what we really want. So that's great. What else? I still can't believe you de-Googled yourself. So that's awesome. Hey, what do you think about VPNs for at least your online activity? Because I'll give you an opinion here. And when they listen and they hear this, they ain't going. There's a certain company that's not going to like it.
I think I know the company that you're talking about. There's been quite a few that have had leaks.
Yeah, and they had it, but not just their leak. Mike and Alex are gonna kill me. But Malwarebytes, they gave me the VPN to play with, and the reason why I'm not talking about it is because sometimes, if you have nothing good to say, it took my performance. I have, just so you know what the overhead is with some VPNs, I have a gig up and down. So this week, I decided to start playing. I said, let me see what the VPN for Malwarebytes and test it. It was like everything was so slow. I basically went down to under 100 meg. My gig went to 100 meg. No. Go ahead. Look at whatever I'm doing because I need my speed. So I made a determination that the speed was more important than the privacy at that point. So
I can't believe that you can get a gig up and down. I don't even think that's available here.
Wait, it's better. I have a gig up and down in Pennsylvania and here. So I have an open VPN to my Synology server back in Pennsylvania, and I feel like I'm sitting there. It is awesome. And as a matter of fact, someone in the chat before we started said, hey, I can't get OpenVPN to work with the Synology. Really? Email me because, man, I have done it. And not only for me, I've done it for clients. I've done it. I'm going to mention something else. This is actually next week's show. I'm going to talk about Untangle and the VPNs for Untangle and that I've been deploying for clients. That is just phenomenal, that's something that's really good for security. So I'm becoming the VPN man, lately, which is, during these times now with the pandemic, that's what you got, adapt or die, And so for my business, adapting to the VPN and making sure that you can support it and sell it and everything that we're talking about here tonight, everybody, take a look at this. Listen to the show again and again. Look at the show notes that I'm going to have. They're going to be there for a long time. And take a look and see what can you wrap up with this and add more products to your and services to your business and be able to offer security. Or even if you're not even doing that, think of the tips here of the little things that's going to make you look impressive with your clients, even for their own personal use. Just like the Brave browser and all the different links and everything that we're talking about, and I think it'll make a better connection to the client. So that's my spiel to everybody to have them, and by the way, I just realized I keep looking to the right because that's where Corey's picture is on my monitor. So I'm trying to, I got to stop doing that. So, as we come to a close here, what else can we recommend?
I think if you're looking to de-Google, there is a Reddit community called de-Google. So if you go to reddit.com/r/de-Google, there's a whole community and they have a little manifesto at the beginning that explains why you should de-Google, and they'll walk you through the steps and they'll teach you all the different places you can go to get that stuff. Privacytools.io is another one. If you're looking for providers that respect your privacy, they've done the legwork. And as far as I know, those are not sponsored, but you could double check that one.
Okay.
Another interesting one is the EFF. I don't know if you know who the EFF is.
Yes, electron. Foundation. Hold on. Free. What,
Electronic Frontiers Foundation.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So the EFF has a tool called Cover Your Tracks, and it lets you test your browser to see how unique it is. And what I found was really interesting is I took my Edge browser, which I've literally never used. It has no plugins, nothing configured because I always use Brave.
Right.
And I ran it through Cover Your Tracks and it came back as completely unique. And I don't know how that is. I have no idea. But
wow,
they were able to fingerprint my browser with no cookies, no nothing. That's interesting.
Wow. That's good. That's good. This is good stuff. Boy, I got to go through all of this to collect all these. There's a lot of links. So there's just so much information. And I will be putting that together for the show notes, so you don't have to worry about writing all of this stuff down as you're listening, because there's a lot of stuff here. And it's going to take a while. I use the term to unpack everything from this show, but take the time and go through it. And it's, everything's not for everybody, as Corey said. You know, it's you got to decide what information do you not want. Now, who do you trust the least? You know, I don't trust Facebook at all. The minute I'm done here, I'm downloading Brave and I'm getting that plugin, because I don't trust Facebook. I mean, you got Google, you got Facebook. I trust Facebook probably the least out of everything we've mentioned. I'd put Google up there. You know, do we trust Apple? Well, not really, but I'm torn, you know? So I have to think about that, and I think everybody should. Ask yourself, what are you using? Next time you search, think about what you're typing and where are you typing it? And that's where, if you stop and pause and give it some thought, you're going to say, wow, man, Microsoft owns me. Google owns me. You know, speaking of which, have I been owned, or pwned? Is that how they say it?
Have I been pwned? Yeah.
Have I been pwned? Because I always say owned. Okay. So have I been pwned? That's a great site. I mentioned that a long time ago. Boy, type your email in there. You're going to get, right off the bat, if you ever used Adobe, there you go. Boom. Because there's so many, your email has been breached so many times. I even stopped talking about that because I just tell everybody, your data has been breached. Have you ever applied for any kind of a credit? Well, there you go. Boom. That was Equifax. Your information's out there. So you must operate that everybody's looking at everything. And so the question is, do you care? I actually, something that doesn't bother me that bothers a lot of people. If you search something, and see, now it's not happening for you because you're using DuckDuckGo, and I got to use that more. If I search for something and then all of a sudden it comes up in Facebook, you know, for buying that, you know, or something, or what really would tick me off is, I already bought it. You're wasting your money by putting the ad in front of me. But here's what really ticks my wife off. We're talking about something, and I have to find a way to turn this off. You might know this. Anytime we talk about something, it comes up as ads for her, like an hour later. You know, so this was way back when I was talking about David Byrne and a concert, you know, because he was the Talking Heads and everything, and I was, you know, going down to a concert. And she wants nothing to do with David Byrne or the Talking Heads. She's literally a few minutes later, an ad for the tickets for the concert came up on her phone. Not mine. Not mine. And I'm the one who was interested. But it was like her phone was listening. And it was, and I swear, anytime we talk about something, it comes up on her phone. And she's just switched phones, and it happened again. I got to look into the default Android setup. There's got to be things in there that are listening. So that I, you know, that's kind of scary, you know, so that with your de-Googled phone, is there anything you're missing that you wish
Android
you had?
Android Auto is it. That's it.
What was that?
Android Auto is the only thing.
Okay. Android Auto. Okay. You could use it in the private profile if you had to.
No, but it just won't work.
Oh, it won't work because you need, oh, boy, there's an opportunity there for somebody, right? You know? Oh, like DuckDuckGo. I mean, clearly, you know, hey, wow, there we go. There's an opportunity. An open source mapping program that'll work across all platforms.
Well, no, Google Maps works. So I do use Google Maps inside of that shelter that I was talking about.
Right.
Google Maps works fine, but Android Auto, the app Android Auto, does not work.
Yeah, but that integrates more into all your info. That's what makes Android Auto great. That's like my Apple CarPlay. It integrates into my iPhone. That's so good. So if you text me, it'll come up on my car, you know, and then it'll read it to me and say, would you like to respond? Yes, I would. And I give it a response. I'm like, I want it to do more. I want to, you know, I want my auto butler, you know, at my beck and call, you know, and, you know, that's what happens when you give up that kind of freedom. That's when they take over. So it's, you know, you can make it easy for you. That's what it's the, you know, the servants will uprise, you know. Oh man. So anything you'd like to add as we close this out?
One more thing. I just noticed somebody, and I don't even know how to pronounce that. A bear cub.
Yes, Alaskan. He's from Alaska.
Alaska bear cub. Okay. he said that he uses Messenger Lite, but that's it. What I've actually recently switched to is Signal. I don't know if you're familiar with Signal.
Yes.
It's excellent, and it just becomes your SMS app. And so for people, you just send a message, and if they're on Signal, it gets encrypted. And if they're not on Signal, it goes through a regular SMS, and you'll never notice the difference.
Okay, that's nice.
It's a very, very, very good, and there's a desktop app for it as well, so you can send SMSs, you can send Signal messages from your desktop. I find it very, very useful.
Okay. All right. Corey, thank you so much for taking the time and spending it with us. And I know everybody is just going to love this, and who isn't here live when they hear this or watch it on the video that I post up. I'm so glad you reached out to me. And, you know, Corey's here thank you. As I go into the final and wrap up, I always do this at the end of the show, and I talk about, you know, my sponsors, and I talk about, you know, as everybody knows, I'm in Florida, so I'm going to split my time between Florida and Pennsylvania. I can't live without Instant House Call. I would be out of business without Instant House Call. And something interesting happened this week that I got to share. So Verizon had a fiber cut in Brooklyn, and it impacted some services, and it wasn't Instant House Call, and my son could not get to all the our clients, and I could, because I'm on Frontier and I'm, you know, thousands of miles away, and I was able to get to the clients and help them because I was on a whole different, you know, connection, where everything from on the Northeast Corridor, Washington, all the way up to Boston, it impacted a lot of services this week on a lot of our clients, and mostly Verizon. And it was just really good that I was still able to be in business and work. And it just, all it did was fortify having two locations like this, almost like a recovery site, or my, you know, having an alternative site and having the phone where it rings there and rings here. But my son and I could not live without Instant House Call with supporting clients. As a matter of fact, tonight he's working on a client where we got to update the chipset, and he's going to walk him through the BIOS upgrade. Now, we know he's going to get disconnected and then connect right back up after it reboots and after the BIOS is done, you know, flashing the BIOS. But he has to do that tonight, and the only time they could do it was like 8 o'clock, so he's doing that right now. Anyway, Instant House Call, and we thank them for being a sponsor. Magnus Box, for reselling your online backups, that's the way to go. I love it. It's a single pane dashboard for monitoring everything. I can't, again, that's all my main clients are on that for backing up. Amazon, please use the link that Carrie Holzman and myself that we share. We split this link. You're supporting the Mike Tech Show. You're supporting Tech Vets. You're supporting Carrie, myself, and you're supporting his videos and the podcast Tech Vets. When you use that link, when you click on it, then add those items to your cart, your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to us, and we so appreciate you using that. And of course, Fab's Auto Backup, we use that to transfer data. My son will be on site with a client tomorrow He's getting a new system. And how are we going to transfer the data? We're going to use FABS. And that link will also be in the show notes. That's it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Corey, for joining us. And thank you for listening and downloading the show. I'll see everybody back here same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.